Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox. We're digging deeper into Matthew's Gospel, and today we're in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. It reads, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." There's a change here. The those of verse 10, those who are persecuted, has become a you. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you. It's getting more personal here. I think Jesus wants his followers to realize that this is not just a general principle, that people will be persecuted when they follow him, but something that they must expect personally. Persecution is for every Christian, just as much as any aspect of the Beatitudes. Of course, it's not good if everyone likes us all the time. Jesus warned about this in Luke 6. "Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." Jesus is referring to more than just physical persecution, I think, but he includes reviling and slander and insults, all done on account of following Jesus. In other words, it's due to the disciples' imitation of Jesus that they are being persecuted. What causes our experiences of persecution? Is it imitation of Jesus or self-righteousness? Jesus understood that his message was divisive. Matthew chapter 10, verse 35, he talks about how his message will set people against one another. He was persecuted, he was murdered, actually, for what he said and did, and we should expect nothing less. Being righteous separates a Christian from someone who's not a Christian, whether we like it or not. The motive, the purpose, or the reason for the persecution is nothing personal, in the sense that it's due to following Jesus. So why should we rejoice? Jesus says to rejoice when we're persecuted. Well, perhaps because it means that we're being counted worthy, like the apostles in Acts chapter 5. And also our faith is being purified, 1 Peter 1, verse 6. But I think mostly we can rejoice because our reward is in heaven. As it says in 2 Corinthians 4, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." The heroes of Hebrews chapter 11 endured their challenges because they kept their eyes firmly fixed on the future blessings, just like Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. In Hebrews 12 verse 2, we're urged to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And that's our example too. Our rejoicing is not because we are glad to be persecuted, that would be self-righteousness, but because we know we have an identity connected with that of the prophets and Jesus himself. We should grieve over the perversion of the world that sees our righteousness as something worthy of opposition, but we should rejoice because we're confirmed as being like Christ. Persecution in the right sense is a badge of honor. If we are opposed to the devil, it shows that we are children of the light. Satan is worried about us. It's our perspective on life and eternity that means we can rejoice. The reward, of course, is not earned by enduring the persecution. Our reward is by grace, just as much as our initial salvation. And this means that we rejoice all the more because we're looking forward to something that we do not deserve. Moses looked forward, and so should we. As it says in Colossians 3, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Now, that's something worth rejoicing about. Now, these two verses conclude the Beatitudes section of Matthew 5, and they link with the teaching that follows, showing how to live the righteous life. So we'll go on to that next time. Until then, I hope you have a wonderful day, and God bless.